Let's do it right now. Show them who's boss.
All right, Buccaneers fans, the post-draft episode you have been waiting for with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. We're prevented from anybody, but we're presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Ira, you feeling excited about this post-draft podcast? Because we got, I'm jacked up. Lee's all fired up.
Oh, I've been waiting 3 days for this because me and DeCamper, we just might go at it. You're going to have to play referee again. Steve, I'm looking at the parking lot. I'm hoping DeCamper isn't in the parking lot in about 12 minutes. But we will continue our three-year battle over edge rushers and Todd Bowles. We will continue.
All right. Well, you finish your coffee. I'll finish telling everybody to check out the amazing lease deals at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. The offers, this is going to be your last weekend coming up to take advantage. So you want to do that. All those great rates you see right now, $259 a month, $359 a month.
Wouldn't it be a great Mother's Day present, Steve? A brand new vehicle.
A new vehicle, yeah. You hide it, put one of those bows on it.
Yeah, a little bow.
Reuben Bain bought his mom an Escalade in college. There's a cool video on that. You know, of course, all these guys come in now. Nobody celebrates the draft picks. Nobody's weeping because they just hit the lottery the previous year or 2 years prior.
And you know what Bain did with that car the next day? He lifted it over his head. That's how strong this guy is.
BillCurryFord.com. That's the website. Family owned, family operated since 1960. And GM Sean Sullivan, he's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. He wants you to ask him for it. You can find him at the website. You can find him at the dealership. Mobile service at your home is still rolling. No additional charge. All kinds of things they can do with master technician coming out to your vehicle. They can tow you. It's unreal. BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping today. And later, Sage, we'll talk about our great friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. The second you have water damage, any kind of issue at your home, you call them 24-7. You mention Ira. And after your free inspection, if you need Florida's Elite Restoration to get work done for you, you'll get $500 back on your cost or money that you can use toward your insurance deductible. We'll talk more about them, Ira. So you're fired up. Lee's here. We got all these picks to talk about, more that we've learned. What's going on,
Ira? Let me give you a few takeaways over here, Lee. One, people love to ding the NFL. Goodell's this, Goodell's that. You know, the refereeing, the officiating stinks. What the hell's going on? They're going on streaming. How dare they? Lee, did you see that crowd? Did you see that freaking crowd in Pittsburgh?
I read about it.
300. That's more people than go to Primanti Brothers. Lee.
I don't know about that.
By the way, somebody put out a tweet. I hope you didn't see it. Calling Primanti Brothers one of the most overrated lunch places in America.
That's their problem, not mine.
That's their problem. All right, so that's number one. Number two.
And wait a minute. How about the crowds in St. Petersburg? The videos from downtown St. Pete? Unbelievable. Unreal.
It's bigger than the Lightning Watch Party. I mean, that's outstanding.
Oh, much bigger.
Much bigger. Number two, the first round could not have gone any better for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, let's face it. I'm sitting there with Steve. We're watching it on TV. When it got to about number 10, 11, Lee, I said to Isbitz over his corn nuggets, Bain's still out there, Steve. Bain hasn't been drafted yet. He got past Dallas, who I thought was going to take him. And then, you know, the Rams take a quarterback.
Which was shocking.
Mean, that's a shocker. How's that help them in 2026?
Exactly.
And before you know it, the Bucs are on the clock with Bain sitting there. I think they took a couple of minutes just to, you know, get the fans excited. They could have turned it in 3 seconds.
Well, Light said he waited 2 minutes for, there were calls coming in. He just wanted to make sure he didn't miss the proverbial deal I couldn't refuse. You know?
And Lee, the third takeaway, which is a little bit funny. The kid, I thought it was the Arizona State receiver, Barfin, on his way to the stage.
Did he?
Was it Tyson?
Yeah,
I think it was Tyson.
Yeah, he got so choked up, he kind of spit up.
He spit up, Lee.
Oh.
You know, it's like me when I've had indigestion. Spit up on the way. Other guys were slamming the logo of the team they were on.
What Bain did too, right?
This Bain's a serious man, Lee. Now, you saw him in person on Friday. He speaks in a monotone, a little low.
Below.
He's not a guy I want to see in a dark alley over there at the Kemper.
Well, I can tell you with Bain, I was sitting not much farther than you and I, 5 foot at the most. I couldn't hear him.
Did they bring him in the media room? Mm-hmm. And you couldn't hear him in there either?
I was maybe 5 feet from him. I couldn't hear him. He puts his head down, doesn't even
now,
look
Steve,
up.
Now, Steve, hopefully he talks loudly on the field.
Well, they got him hollering when he was with Jimmy Giles in the Glazer shed.
Does Jimmy Giles ever miss an event?
No.
It's incredible.
No.
Steve, there's no way in the hundreds of all kinds of configurations that the Bucks did in preparation for this draft, I would say 2 out of 100 had Bain sitting there at 15. And I think they even admitted that at the press conference. They were kind of shocked that he was sitting there at 15. I was.
Yeah, it was a little surprising. I've watched a bunch of interviews now of Bain going back. He did a really good combine sit down with Connor Rogers and Chris Sims for PFT. He was very good on draft night with Pat Kerwin and the 3 or 4 guys on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Wrote a couple things out of that. I'm going to guess he was probably a little burned out, exhausted, maybe on no sleep on Friday, maybe, in Tampa. But, you know, definitely he's got a lot of personality to him. And
does he?
Enough, yeah. Yeah, okay. If you watch the interviews.
I didn't see any personality Friday.
I take back saying a lot, but he's got enough personality there. And he's got a really cool story. His mom's a corrections officer, and his father was a business owner in the area there. He has family who played for the Canes. His uncle, Carlton Davis, is his cousin. And
you're sneaking a Carlton Davis reference into this thing?
And Charlie Strong did an interview with J.P. Peterson. You know, Charlie Strong got fired by the Bucks after being D-line coach last year. Why they hired him is a whole nother podcast. And he recruited Bain to University of Miami. He was there at the time. And then he left because he didn't get the defensive coordinator job. But Charlie Strong said, he explained that Bain went to a sort of a high-tech high school that didn't have a football team. And so he was allowed to play at where he played at Miami Central, I believe, which is well known for all their great players. But he said he's a big time academic kid. And he went to this high school, and Charlie Strong shared a story that, hey, you know, Bain was so serious about academics that when I called the school and wanted to visit with him and had a scheduled visit with him, it came back to me, Ruben only will meet with you at lunchtime. He doesn't like to miss class time. And Charlie Strong was like, whoa, okay, that doesn't happen very often.
This could be a guy who battles Bucky Irving for getting in before bowls. Speaking of bowls, Lee.
Please don't invoke Bucky Irving with Bain.
Lee, did you ask Bowles on a Friday afternoon how much money are they willing to throw Jason Taylor to get his butt over into Tampa and coach this guy?
I want to, but no, I'm not going to spoil
the parade.
Do you
still think it's a good idea?
I think it's beyond a good idea. I think it should be a no-brainer. And especially in, you know, you and I have spoken about this before, that football people aren't really beheld to honesty and the truth, but they will back up their friends, their buddies, their cohorts, their clique, their football clique.
They'll support them.
Yeah, so when Jason Taylor comes out, oh, the perfect defense. I told Bain he couldn't have gone to a better team and a better coach, blah, blah. Well, you know, Todd Bowles coached Taylor in a way. Bowles was a secondary coach in Miami when Taylor was there, so they know each other. And that smelled to me like, oh, you know, he's backing up his good buddy, Todd Bowles. And,
would you bring Taylor in to work with the entire pass rush or just Bain?
I'd be tempted the whole pass rush because look what he built in Miami. He knows what he's talking about and knows what he's doing. So I'd throw all kinds of money at the guy to get him up here. I really would.
Speaking of the pass rush at UM, Steve, what do you think the odds are if Bain was off the board that the Bucks A, would have taken Mesidor at 15 or traded down and still taken Mesidor? What's your instincts on that?
My instincts? That's tough. I mean, Jason Light wanted to trade down, and you see the reality, which is Mesidor went, I think it was 22 or 23.
I believe that's right.
To the Chargers. So if Light were smart under that scenario, he would have traded down, gotten to 19, 20, 21.
Yeah, I think he would have went to 20, Lee. I think he would have went to 20.
Peter Schrager, you know, the Bucks basically said that they were looking at a specific person. They didn't say who, but I think it was Light and Bowles both said they had someone eyed. And I think it was Peter Schrager came out and said that was Mesidor. They didn't believe Bain would be there.
And as you always say, Schrager's got contacts.
Yeah, he's got contacts.
Now, the fun thing is that Bain was on Sirius talking about how crediting Mesidor for, you know, leading him and, you know, they're 3.5 years apart, Mesidor being older and him helping me flourish and blossom, but on a personal level, not like, oh, he was a great rusher on the other side. not like that. So that was kind of interesting. Of course, Bucks fans will now be able to watch for years to come who was the better pick, who was the better.
He's with the Chargers.
Yeah,
right?
He's with the Chargers.
That's a Jim Harbaugh pick, yeah. Rightly. Oh,
but yeah. The main thing, I think the greatest part of it is, and we said it the other night, Ira, it feels like the Bucks got best available, yeah. And their dire edge rush need.
Which didn't happen in 2025 because they got a heck of a player in Egbuka, but it wasn't necessarily a pressing priority.
No, not at all.
Not pressing
no.
Like this one was.
So, Lee, are you feeling a little better about the Bain pick? Because he is an edge rusher, round one.
Lee said he's warming up. He's warming up to it.
I warmed up in the sense that I'm 40%. I still have significant doubts.
Where were you before? Zero?
Oh, I was way down.
Okay.
Way down. And that was nothing against Bain, I have no faith in
you. You understand the pick, though, right, Lee? You understand it.
I understand. Yes and no. I just think they're ignoring a major obstacle. You know.
Well, Lee, you can't throw your hands up and say we're not going to try to improve the pass rush.
I didn't say that. You know, like I said previously, I said if you want to draft three edge rushers after the first round, great. But you swing and miss on a first round, it sets you back a couple of years. That was my main issue. You know, go out and get a guy in the second round, third round, I don't care. But the first round, that was one reason why I was leaning toward Sadiq or trading down and get McDonald. And by the way, McDonald going to Texas, good God, is that defense going?
You know, you're right.
Holy smokes.
They're deep up front, boy. They are deep. And they got Logan Hall. You know,
well, yeah, that'll do it.
I'm not knocking him, but you're right, yeah.
For depth, you know.
Maybe they'll trade him back to the Bucks.
Speaking of Pat Kerwin, a good friend of the program, do I understand, and you know, he's got something going on with the Bucks. He keeps a close eye on the Bucks.
Oh, he used to work for him.
I might understand that he loves Jason Light's draft. I believe
I did
he
not
does.
Hear him today.
He said that in his draft wrap-up Friday. He said that Bain, and we're talking about Pat Kerwin, former Jets personnel chief.
Turned in the card for Bo Jackson with the Bucks.
Top voice on SiriusXM NFL Radio, was a Bucks scout, has worked at the college level, coach and whatever. Favorite pick of the first round, Reuben Bain. Even Mike Mayock, who was kind of down on Bain, watching his live show that he did, he still had him as the 13th best player in the draft.
And they got him at 15.
So even a guy who was kind of down on him and said that he takes too many plays off. He said he just disappears for too long in games. He also referenced the short arms. And, of course, a lot of people have referenced the short arms.
I got short arms when the check comes, Lee. I've been known for that.
We've taken a few slaps at Jason Light for his, you know, his gassing up his edge rushers. Of course, we've got Chris Braswell, who's now disappeared.
Shoyinka.
And, of course, David Walker, who has yet to complete what, Lee?
Has yet to complete a padded practice.
Padded practice. And here's the fun part, is that the Bucks are so excited about David Walker.
That's the first round
and
pick.
His arms are only 1 inch longer, 1 inch longer than
Bain.
So Bain's arms are like are 30 and 7/8 inches, which, you know, they say you need at least 33 to be, hit the mark. And so not only does Walker come in with his interesting pedigree and coming off a knee injury, he's got short arms too. So we need a short arm edge rusher expert at the Buccaneers because we got two of them.
Lee, you know what jumps off the film for me about Reuben Bain? His power.
He's a very strong individual.
And I think that translates to the pro level. And who knows? He might even put some weight on and get stronger. Who knows? But I'd rather have his skill set than a guy who just relies on speed going around the edge because I don't think that tends to work.
No, it doesn't work because you got to have a toolbox.
You got to have a toolbox. And Messador had one.
You got to keep in mind, you can't overemphasize the power too much because I love this quote from Warren Sapp. When people talk about, the guy did this bench press, and Warren Sapp's famous line, you don't pump weights on the 50-yard line.
I'm talking about power on tape.
Yeah, that's some of the fun part about Bain because the power's on the film, and he went to the combine and was like, he wasn't hurt at all. He was like, no need for that. I'm just here for interviews. You know, it's all on the field, and I'll do the pro day stuff. And they asked him, are you going to only do limited things at the pro day? He's like, no, I'm a competitor. If I'm doing something, I'm going all the way. And there's some, you see the bend in him. There's some wild video and some of the film. The guy's just, for his size, is incredibly flexible and can get around guys. I think the fans are jacked up because if you were going to get an edge rusher, they got one of the better. They got a guy nobody thought they could get. But what pissed me off driving home Friday night, or Saturday morning mostly, I was thinking, you know what? If they had friggin' ponied up the cash and signed Trey Hendrickson, right now they'd have Trey Hendrickson, Ruben Bain, and Yaya Diaby. What a ferocious possible pass rush that would be. Eye-opening.
Leave it to Steve to think about what might have been, Lee. What might have been. I'm hoping Bain has an effect on Diaby.
He should.
Who maybe push him towards 10 sacks, perhaps, and drawing some attention away from Diaby. It seems to me, Lee, that the overriding element in this 26 Bucks draft, and I think Bowles alluded to it, Lee, on Friday afternoon, you were there, they wanted to get nasty.
Oh, yeah,
they're not going to use the word soft, but I think Bowles thought they were soft.
They were soft. You know, Light said it weeks ago that they needed to get violent. They needed violent players. You're absolutely correct.
Violent's a tough word, Steve. It's a tough word. But
well, why did Jason Light draft a bunch of softies? Let's just ask the question. It's his team. They crow about how they got all these draft picks that have stayed with the team and all this.
Braswell's not physical.
Why'd you draft
a bunch of guys that aren't physical. McCollum's not physical.
And it makes me wonder about the offensive line a little bit because Light's done a great job with the O-line, no question, building it. But should we be a little worried that maybe these guys will turn out to be a little softer than we think? Was Graham Barton a little softer than we thought he would be last year? Yes.
Nobody's going to call Gedeky soft or Malk, I don't think.
Or worse.
I understand that. But are they as hard-edged as we want them to be?
Hard-edged enough. I have no issue with them.
I'm not talking about them.
It's the least of our concerns.
Exactly. I'm not worried about the offensive line. I know there's people out there because the pro football frauds told them to be bent out of shape. I'm not bent out of shape.
And I think I speak for Sean Sullivan here too, Lee. The guy I wish they could have got was the Dominguez kid at linebacker.
Jacob Rodriguez?
I think he fits. I think he fits the Bulls' profile more than Josiah Trotter does.
I heard this recently. You know me about 40 times.
Yeah.
That's track practice. It ain't football. And look at all the guys who run great 40 times. You don't hear that. You don't hear a peep out of them after the
wide receivers. You don't hear a peep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had heard recently that if you look at college football each year, if you look at the guys who have the most forced fumbles, they don't pan out.
Oh.
And I haven't done research.
He's a machine. He's a machine with the punch out. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm stretching here. Maybe that's why Light didn't draft or didn't trade up for him. But having heard that, again, I haven't done the research. I'm going to check it out. But I'm just wondering if that's because a guy goes from forcing fumbles against children to trying to force fumbles against adults. And it doesn't work.
Steve, you got the second round up on your screen?
Well, yeah. There's a very important question as it relates to the second round and what the Bucks did and didn't do. I really think it's very, very important. It's almost as important as putting Florida's Elite Restoration in your phone, Ira, because you got to know who to call. You get terrible thing happens at your home or your property or you're in a panic. Or your mom's house or whatever. You got to know who to call. What do I do? I'm going to start searching AI? Or what am I going to do? Well, if you go to Google reviews, you'll see Florida's Elite Restoration. They're all 5-star. 5.0, 300-plus reviews and counting. They're an incredible locally owned family company, service the whole Bay Area and beyond. Call them first, get your free inspection, get your IRA discount by mentioning Joe Bucks Fan when you first call, and they're going to hook you up with the best technology. They've worked on the insurance side. Don't be a fool. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. So IRA, second round, and this is where it gets important here. Bucks take Josiah Trotter out of Missouri.
They were going to take a linebacker in round two, Steve.
Yes.
Once they got banned.
And we told everybody that on the radio when you and I were on WDAE before the draft hosting. We said, take it to the bank, starting linebacker round two, take it to the bank, put your money down on the edge rusher round one. Hopefully we
Forget the Sadiq stuff. Yep.
Hopefully we made some people money, and that's why I bought you dinner on draft night. Very expensive dinner, I might add. Anyway, the Bucks take Trotter, all SEC inside linebacker, young guy. And
good pedigree.
1, 2, 3 picks earlier goes Jacob Rodriguez, inside linebacker, who's a few years older, who seemingly is more pro-ready, who's talented as hell. And
who got him?
He goes to Miami. Poor guy. And the Bucks certainly could have traded up. And it was the Raiders who made the most recent trade in the draft to that point in the second round. They traded up with Washington and got the safety they were looking for. But the Bucks could have traded up, and they didn't. And what gets me is that Rodriguez seems much more pro-ready. Trotter's more of a project. He's very young. He hasn't played a lot. He's not good in coverage. He might be way better than Rodriguez in 2-3 years at 24 years old. But if they're in win now mode, why not trade up and get the better guy? What would you have had to cough up? I mean, are they in win now mode or not?
Lee, that's a little bit second guessing. I mean, it was only 3 more picks, and he's only 3 more picks, and well, they didn't know that the Miami was going to take Rodriguez. They didn't know that.
No, I side with Steve on that. And you could also second guess, you know, Emory Hunt. I think it was Emory Hunt that said C.J. Allen was the next Hardy Nickerson. Well, that gets my attention. He was out there. They didn't.
C.J. Allen was out there. Now, was Hill off the board?
No, Steve? Hill was on the board.
Hill was on the board. Here's
why.
I would have preferred a couple of those other guys rather than Trotter. I would have.
I can tell you right now why they got Trotter and why they got Keontae Scott. I can tell you right now. It's a two-part answer. Number one, they blitz, and they blitz very well. Number two, they get home on the blitz. How many times over the past 3 or 4 years we've seen Todd Bowles blitz like a maniac, nobody home, guys are wide open.
Seen it all the time, Lee, all
the time. These guys get home, and even what's better than that, if that's not good enough for you, even what's better than that, with Bain, Keontae Scott said that him and Bain had it worked out where he could read what Bain was doing and know where to blitz because of what Bain was doing.
Now, that's Keontae Scott, the 4th-round pick, the
Miami safety corner. You know what? He could be. I think he could be a hybrid linebacker safety. I think that guy could be, but would he be used that way?
Sometimes those hybrids scare me, Lee.
Sometimes
that means,
it works out.
You don't excel at either job.
Here's what scares me. Tyke Smith blitzed like an animal coming out of Georgia, and where was his blitzing prowess with the Bucs?
Did he get home? Okay. I'd rather have a guy that demonstrated he can get home. Rather than a guy who demonstrated he can't. You know, so.
Sure. And, of course, we don't want a blitz. We want an edge rush for a change.
I don't see Trotter staying on the field and passing downs, Lee. I don't see it.
Maybe not. But
maybe he'll surprise me.
Who you put in?
No, Mike Beal.
Who you putting in?
Another DB.
Another DB.
Mike Beal got hit with that question about is alleged like a defense. Alleged. A misnomer.
Coverage. Yeah.
What'd I say?
Defense.
Oh, well, yeah. Pass coverage.
Yeah.
He said it's a misnomer. Well, I guess
what do you expect Beal to say?
Yeah, that's true.
I thought they might take C.J. Allen.
I wanted the more pro-ready guy. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Maybe the Bucs aren't.
A Kirby Smart defender. I don't know how you can go wrong with that.
I got nothing against Trotter. His dad played in the league. Usually those legacy guys do very well. The Bucs have had them before.
Lee, fair to say he's more physical than some of those other guys? More physical?
Oh, yeah. Fair.
He's young. He just turned 21. I mean, he should get better.
Lee, they go for a pass rusher and a linebacker. Nobody should be surprised. Nobody. Now, a wide receiver at 3.
A little bit of a surprise.
So, Sage, this is fun. And this is the kind of stuff I love because it helps the entertainment value. So,
Are you not entertained, Steve?
I'm entertained. I just, you know, I like this stuff. So
I wasn't entertained watching that defense last year.
Awful. So they draft a receiver in the 3rd round. And the wild part of this, Sage, is that before they pick, the Panthers take another big body receiver from Tennessee, Chris Brazel. And were the Bucs trying to pick that guy? Could we ever get the truth? Because he's bigger. He's faster than Hurst. Hurst is probably a better athlete overall. But interesting that the Panthers, one pick above, take a big body 6'4 receiver just like Ted Hurst. Even more fun, 3-4 picks before that.
Boston.
Atlanta takes a 3rd-round receiver, Branch out of Georgia. We got 3 receivers now in the NFC South taken in the same round within 4 or 5 picks of each other. That's fun to keep track of.
Now, Lee, I don't mean this in any way, trying to besmirch Ted Hurst. Not in any way. But it's hard for me to imagine he's going to make an impact as a rookie receiver. Maybe he could be a return guy.
You ever see a tall guy like that return?
He's not returning kicks, Ira.
How about coverage? Kick coverage.
Maybe.
I'm not worried about it.
But, Lee, that's a stacked receiver room at this point.
It is, but
especially if Godwin makes a full recovery.
Sure, but they don't have a guy to, like, run go routes. This guy does.
All right.
Tez Johnson?
Well, yeah, but
I mean, he did score 5 touchdowns, Lee.
Yeah.
He did.
All right, if this guy can't contribute as a rookie, then he sucks as a 3rd-round pick. You don't draft a receiver in
the
3rd round.
They got a big receiving room, Steve. It's
big. But injuries are coming, and
Like McMillan? Like I like
they
McMillan.
They got to use this guy. I hope everybody stays healthy, but what are the odds of that? He's got to be able to play. Trey Palmer caught 39 balls as a rookie and a touchdown in the playoffs.
He's not going to start week one.
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, you wouldn't think
so. I'm not saying he won't, but I don't think so.
They should be able to have some things for him. And
sure.
I mean,
as quick as he is?
They used Tez Johnson last year, and some of that was out of necessity. Not all of it. But it's. What do you think of this for the future? A third-round pick, big body, deep threat receiver.
I love it for the future because, to me, Godwin's future is a little bit uncertain. It's a little bit uncertain.
Yeah, because this is the last year of his contract.
Last year of his contract.
He's 30?
Now, Lee, you've heard me say it many
times. Still has one more year.
If things don't go well, I think Light says goodbye to some veterans. Godwin could be in trouble in terms of if bringing in Hurst. I think he'd like the depth over there. I thought they might go guard in the third round. A solid backup guard.
Drafting a backup in the third round is a little...
Well, to me, Hurst is a backup right now.
Okay, well, if he pans out like they think he will, I think he starts. Wasn't Godwin a third-round pick?
Yep.
Third round for a backup, that's a little early.
I wonder about the competition Hurst was up against. I wonder a little bit about it.
It's fair.
I mean, that's why he was sitting there in the third round.
He did have offers to go to a bigger school. I'm trying to remember exactly why you say he didn't, but... I think the reason what it came down to was his dad told him, look, you stay at Georgia State, you're going to be on the field. If you go up a level, you don't know. New coach, new everything, you don't know. But you stay at Georgia State, you're going to get on the field, and if you play, the NFL will find you. So that's logical.
You know, Steve, reading the consensus of the draft so-called pundits, Lee, a lot of them really like the fourth-round pick, that corner. They're very high on the kid. They think Light stole him.
Look, Todd Bowles changes nickels every year. So here comes the next nickel, and he's going to start unless he sucks. He's going to start.
Hurricane.
He's a six-year player in college, polished. He's quick. He's good. He seems to have good hands.
They did a lot of research on UM, Lee. A lot of research.
You know what is great?
And why wouldn't you?
Well, this is a throwback to McKay. To Richie McKay. McKay said when he took over as GM, and at that point in history, college football ran through Florida. It's either Miami, Florida, Florida State. College football ran through Florida. All three of those teams.
And the Bucs avoided them like the plague.
Yeah, and McKay's like, what are we doing? We got all these dynamite teams and dynamite players, and they're used to Florida weather. Why are we ignoring these guys? And they got Sapp, and then they got Brooks, and look what happened. And so this is sort of reminding me a little bit.
And Warrick Dunn.
Yeah, and work done. But this is starting to remind me a little bit. Look at some of the players the Bucs have had from schools they never used to have players from. Ohio State. It's been decades since they had an Ohio State player. They won the national championship. Notre Dame. It's been forever since they had guys from Notre Dame. Notre Dame played for the national championship 2 years ago. Miami. Miami had Indiana on the ropes. They got a couple players from Miami. So it's kind of a throwback to McKay. Like, wait a minute. Why don't we just get some players from these dominant teams? I can't argue with that. I think that's smart.
Steve, was the pick of this kid in the fourth round
Keontae Scott.
A jolt to McCollum? Get your act together?
I don't know about that, but he should have a boot in his rear end regardless.
Should be a jolt to all of them. I mean, you draft a guy you know that the organization likes, your position, they should all be jacked up. He turns 25 before opening day. This kid should be polished, should be ready to play. Played at Auburn, played in junior college.
Played against good competition.
People but look what he did against Ohio State.
There were a lot of analysts raving about him, a lot of receivers, from Harry Douglas at ESPN to some others.
Can he tackle?
I want
a corner who can tackle.
This guy can play defense.
Again, he turns 25 before the season starts. But now this is what I'm thinking, Ira. I got a serious question here. You're Levante David watching the draft, and you realize, okay, Bucks just took us a badass from my hometown, and he's a dog, and you just grabbed an inside linebacker whose dad played in the league, who's got a ton of talent, is young, is raw, and you drafted another Miami nickel who's ready to go and who's got a big personality and a lot of...
Where are you going with this?
Does Levante David watch this draft and say, I got to get on that field?
Lee, he's unbelievable.
Well, that just happens in the NFL all the time.
Yeah,
he retired.
Does.
I want the second-round pick to play, Lee. I don't want him sitting. Anzalone's not going anywhere. He's here to play. And Trotter's here to play. So
what's David doing? Is he saying, oh, that's nice?
He's taking his little girl to school.
He's going on social media, and then he's going on Kay Adams, and he'll be very successful doing it. Come on, Steve. Will you stop coming up with this stuff?
I'm wondering
what he's
thinking.
Next, you're going to have Warren Sapp coming back because he wants to play opposite Bane over here.
All right. Calm down.
By the way.
We're looking at three new starters on defense. How many?
Oh, I don't know that this corner's going to win a starting job. I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be – if this chaotic Scott is not the starting nickel, something's wrong.
Let's call nickel a starting job, Ira. Three new corners – excuse me. Three new starters on defense, rookies. How many and which ones have to play well for this team to easily win the division?
Bane, you can stop right there.
Bane.
If Bane's a dud, Lee, not much is going to change. They're not going to have a good pass rush. You say all three?
All three. A good offensive coordinator will scheme around a defensive end, unless everybody and their brother's coming through. They got to have better linebacker play. This guy, Anzalone, I think, is an upgrade. And obviously, I believe this guy from Missouri is going to be good, this Trotter. Something's got you spooked about Keontae Scott because you keep asking questions about
him.
Trust me, Ira, he's good.
I can't anoint a fourth-round pick as an immediate starter without question. I can't do that.
Here's the thing. Anybody that watched him, he's a third-round pick. He slipped. For whatever reason, I don't know. Go watch YouTube, Ohio State, Miami, and Indiana, Miami. Watch him.
The guy that I think you guys are completely overlooking is Benjamin Morrison.
He's
a second-round pick, and if he's healthy, Bowles likes him.
Well, he can like him all he wants. Did he show anything to you that he deserved to start?
I didn't see enough of him. I didn't see enough to make a
judgment. That's part of it, but when he was on the field, he was getting lit up. And I hope whenever you critique someone, people jump the gun. Oh, you hate him. I don't hate him.
I'll say this. Morrison will enter camp ahead of the fourth-round pick on the depth chart. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's two different positions, Ira. Scott is a nickel. Nickel.
Can't play on the outside? Can't.
Well, his attribute is geared toward nickel. So he's not going to be an outside corner, at least not now. Morrison, he's got to have a hell of a camp if he's going to start.
Maybe I tell McCullen to take a seat.
Sage, here's how it goes. Morrison is not viewed in the organization as a nickel corner. Why?
Okay.
I don't know, but that's not the point. He is not viewed that way. He's an outside corner. Played 10 games last year. He got lit up a few times. He did some good things at times. Not the best tackler. Obviously, they hope he's better. Year two, healthy, all that stuff. Makes the leap. Parrish can go either way. And McCollum, Todd Bowles told me every practice he plays nickel. We saw him do it earlier in his career. It wasn't very good, but he is practicing that. Maybe he's better, whatever. So you got three guys.
They got a lot invested in McCollum, Lee.
You got three guys. Yeah. Three guys competing for the outside corner job, most likely. And if Scott is capable, he's going to play nickel, and that's it. That's it. I think they'll just play however it shakes out. If Parrish and Morrison look better than McCollum, then he'll sit.
Scott, he hits. He's a game breaker. He's tough.
He's still a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. He's a fourth-round pick.
Correct, but
probably because he's a nickel and not an outside corner.
But
yeah, you might be
Todd
right.
Todd Bowles has had rookie nickels last 2 years, third-round picks. You know, it's not a big stretch.
They got money tied up with McCollum, Steve.
They do, but Todd Bowles has money tied up in his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he sucks in training camp and can't run with Hurst and, you know, and all the other receivers.
You know, Lee, when Bowles says about one of his players, one of his starters, his mind wanders. He loses focus. That's not good.
No.
That's not good.
Bill Curry Ford, shop there first for a vehicle. Don't let your mind wander, as Ira might say. Just give them a shot. Family owned, mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Massive showroom, hundreds of vehicles in stock. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, look. So the Buccaneers, they got 2 fifth-round picks because they traded down. And they draft a defensive tackle, DeMonte Capehart, out of Clemson. And they draft Notre Dame guard Billy Shrouth. So
they got a lot of run stuffers on this team. You're still pissed they didn't take McDonald.
I'm pissed. I was disappointed, but not pissed. Yeah. No.
I think he's going to be good, McDonald. I think he's going
to
be a good
player. You're talking about a perfect spot, him at Houston? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you got to wonder why he didn't go in the first round. The whole league passed on a can't-miss defensive tackle.
He hasn't shown pass rush skills.
That's right. That's right.
I got you. Vita Vea didn't show much pass rush in college either.
So this guy Campbell, Steve?
Capehart.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This guy Capehart.
He's no Calais Campbell.
Looks like a run defender.
Yeah, great big horse.
And Lee, let's be honest. The Buck run defense, which was tremendous about 3-4 years ago, you couldn't run on the Bucks. The last couple of years, it softened up.
Yep. And keyword soft.
Yeah. Of course, the Robinson guy.
Oh, yeah. Ashon.
Another space eater, run stuffer. Of course, you got Vea. And looks like they're loading up to stop the run a little bit.
I think it's a fair question to ask Todd Bowles, especially since it was revealed that he's got a relation or worked alongside Jason Taylor. I think it's a fair question to ask. The question you asked Lee 35 minutes ago. Todd, are you trying to hire Jason Taylor to come coach the edge rush and Bane?
He would have to work with the D-line coach. It could be a little awkward. It could be.
But I don't think it's out of the realm of reality.
I think you make a good point to this extent, Lee. The Bucks have a large staff like most teams. Remember Shuler in the early 70s? He had like six coaches. Yeah, you know. Hey, you do secondary and linebackers. Yeah, you know. And they didn't lose the game. They didn't lose the game. Now there's a 22-man staff.
Arians was over 30. It was the biggest.
And they got all these quality control guys. So I'm going to refute my own question. I think Jason Taylor could easily work with a D-line coach and function independently in a way. And his comfort level with Bane is extraordinary.
I want to give you some, for our listeners, a little inside baseball. But you are absolutely going to love what I'm going to tell you about this Capehart. It's not really about Capehart. But it's about his head coach, Dabo Swinney. I don't ever remember this happening. So the Bucks pick Capehart. Maybe 10 minutes later, people from Bucks media relations start passing out quote sheets. Dabo Swinney, the SID at Clemson, emailed the Bucks quote sheets. After they picked them, Swinney talking about Capehart. And I looked
I've never seen that before.
I looked at that and I said, you know what? Number one, that's how it's done. Number two, if someone went through the effort to do this, I'm going to use it.
So they spotted it and printed it out and passed it out.
Wow. A quote sheet from the college head coach about the player.
Impressive.
That's how you do it. Good job, Dabo Swinney.
You want to hear what's inspiring, Ira? So
I'd like a little inspiration.
The video's at joebucksfan.com. So this kid, Billy Trouth, classic Jason Light guy, grew up on a farm.
You're obsessed with this farm guy.
In Wisconsin. And he went to a very small Catholic school, 250 kids, and his football coach did an interview with the local TV station on, this is his first drafted player. You know what the head coach is, Ira? He's entering his 55th season.
What?
Coaching that high school team.
That's almost as long as Bill Curry Ford has been around.
He's entering his 55th year.
You got to be kidding.
He's got over 500 wins, and you're thinking you can't handle the... Talking football twice a week. This guy's living football 7 days a week.
55 years at the same school coaching?
Just coaching, period. That's an accomplishment.
Wow. He makes me look small. Steve, I'm only in my 50th year.
That's a guy who loves football.
I got to catch that guy. I got to catch
That's a guy who loves
football. Yeah, he got all choked up.
Speaking of, you got to catch somebody. Billy Smith, isn't it? Billy Smith, the Bucks special teams coach?
No, Danny Smith.
Danny Smith. Everybody tells me that knows him. Ira's going to love this guy.
Oh, I'm all over this guy. We're going to Panera Bread, whatever you want, Smith, whatever you want, whatever's on the menu.
So, Ira, look.
Keep it under $8.
This draft, I like the draft because I was so excited with Bane because, all right, this is like a win-now kind of piece from the standpoint of you got a better edge rusher than you could have hoped for.
He's polished.
I'm not going to say he's 100% polished, but he's a better talent than you could have hoped for, and you desperately needed a talent upgrade. And his ceiling's higher than other guys.
And you weren't scared off by the arms.
And then round two, they didn't get the win now guy. Round three, they got a guy that they don't really need right now, most likely.
Oh, wait a minute. Who says Trotter's not going to start, Steve?
I didn't say he was going to start. I don't think he's a win now pick. Rodriguez would have been more than win now pick.
Yeah.
And round three, you got a backup for now, who probably will be needed to contribute.
Scott?
But for now.
No, round three.
The wide receiver. Okay.
And then fourth round. You got a plug-and-play nickel. I'm good with that. But it's like I feel you could have done more to win now, so I give the draft a B. What do you give it, guys?
The second-round pick bothers me a little bit, Lee. I hope I'm wrong. I don't see Trotter as a three-down player. That's okay if he's exceptional in downs one and two. There were a couple of linebackers that were still available, that I would have preferred in terms of rangy sideline to sideline guy.
Wasn't that Golday of Cincinnati still on the board, too, at the time?
We'll see about Trotter. To me, Bane makes or breaks this draft, Lee. I mean, if this guy comes in And I know what you said, Lee, and you're not wrong. It's difficult for edge rushers to make an impact as a rookie.
Up until recently, yes. Up until recently. Recently, there's been more success.
If this guy gets 8 sacks and helps boost Diaby to 10.5,
and
I'm pretty darn happy with it.
There's another and you should. And?
Go ahead.
They make the playoffs.
And they make the playoffs. And saving Bull's job in the process. So you got to take the good with the bad for, as far as you're concerned, Lee. I'm glad they jumped on Bain, Lee. No hesitation. I like it. Shows a lot of confidence that they have in Bain. I think they had him as a top 10 player.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I'm not saying top 5.
Yeah,
top 10.
I'm sure they did.
And you heard Light on Friday. He couldn't believe their luck that Bain fell in their lap. He couldn't believe it. Did he drop? Lee, the first thing I said to Steve when we did that quickie podcast on Thursday night, I said, and I made a mistake. I said 21 years ago. It was 31 years ago.
Oh.
A pass rusher out of UM dropped in the draft.
Sap.
And the Bucks jumped on him.
Yeah.
Now, that was a drug thing. And Bain doesn't have that. I got to think it was the short arms, Lee. I don't think it was the accident from a couple of years ago that he's kind of been cleared at. It's not like he's got a suspension hanging over his head.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, that's not going to happen. So we're about to see this short arm put to the test. I trust in Bain right now.
Well, I'll tell you what.
In Bain, I trust.
The short arm stuff has already been put to the test by the Bucks and by Jason Light. And his name's Luke Getke. That was nice. His big knock.
Nice.
Cansey was a short arm guy as well. So around the
By the way, Cansey just got picked up.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
So Cansey gets the fifth-year option, and it's CBS projects it's going to be about $15 million, 14.5, based on where he was drafted. That's how that works. So he's got to be happy about that for 2027.
Bucks show a little confidence in him.
They love the guy.
They love the guy. Much more often than not, they tend to pick up the, especially on a high draft pick. You pick up the fifth-year extension. Mm-hmm. You do it. If you don't, that signals trouble. That signals a little trouble.
And kind of basically say you've given up on a guy, right?
This is my last year with Cansey, Lee. I mean, if this guy plays 5 games this year, I don't know what to do with this guy.
Yeah, if he misses a chunk of time for injuries, that's a pattern.
I think he's very disruptive, Lee, when he plays.
When he plays, when he's on the field, he's very good when he's on the field. And that's the problem. And, you know, I know Steve's talked a lot about Cansey, and, you know, they absolutely love Cansey. You know,
would you play him more on the edge?
Well, here's what I would do, and I'm not Todd Bowles.
He's got short arms, Ira. You can't play him on the edge.
Well, he has some, not much, but here's my thing with Cansey. You can throw Bain in there, too, and I think Bain right now is a player without a position, honestly, because he was a 4-3 defensive end. We know Todd Bowles doesn't do that. Even though Bowles, this is the perfect one. We'll see. Did the Bucs not use a 52 defense against the Eagles in the playoffs and shut them down?
Gave them nothing.
Gave them nothing. That's what I'd do. But I'm not Todd Bowles. You got the horses now. You could run a 5-man front. And with that 5-man front, there's no way anybody's going to get double teamed. Someone gets double teamed, I guarantee you the quarterback's going to be on his derriere. Unless they're throwing looking passes right and left. But I'm not Todd Bowles. And I do remember Nick Baumgartner of The Athletic. Thursday night / Friday morning, he wrote about the Bain pick. He said, Bowles is going to have to adjust if he wants to get the most out of him. And I don't know he's going to do that.
Do the Bucks have the makings of a pass rush right now?
It's interesting because that's Chris Sims' big pet peeve about the Todd Bowles defense is that he ends up putting too often 5 guys up on the line or on the line and doesn't trust his pass coverage, doesn't get to the quarterback anyway, and Sims has got a long time.
Lee, he's got a valid reason for that, but the completely different personnel now.
Lee, there's nothing worse than sending extra resources to harass the quarterback, and you don't get there.
Which is why
you don't get there. Now you're exposed.
Which is why they got Trotter, and which is why they got Scott. But I know I better not bench that Steve.
So you're saying
these guys get home on the blitz.
They can get home.
Well, there's plenty of guys that get home on the blitz in college. Like Sebastian Dennis got home on the blitz at Pittsburgh. Crazy blitzer. I still remember watching the highlights of them talking about
You said Tyke Smith.
Of Tyke Smith. We go back to 2019. Bowles showed up here. Nick Rapone, the safeties coach, told us point blank, this defense runs through the blitzing nickel. MJ Stewart is the next Tyrann Mathieu. That's why I'm a little skeptical. Todd Bowles, Antoine Winfield, he's going to play nickel. We're moving him. It's 2022. This guy's going to blitz and terrorize. I realized it was a bad idea. So I got a lot of lack of trust in that. And I also got a lot of lack of trust in them developing I think they're worse at developing an inside linebacker than they are on the edge rush.
That's fair.
So
that's fair.
You got a younger guy in Trotter who needs development.
But he's next to a veteran.
I'm not saying he's not a good player, but you thought KJ Britt could do it. He couldn't. You thought Servasio Dennis could do it. He couldn't. You couldn't develop him.
I don't see a
change in inside linebackers coach. You know, Devin White, unique situation because he was so freakishly talented. Trotter's not Devin White. So they got a lot of questions to answer, Sage.
All right, Lee, we're deep into this podcast. You have not mentioned your concerns about Bain being dropped into coverage.
Do you think he's different?
Do you think he's different that will give Bowles second thoughts about doing that with him?
And
the fact that the stuff in the past hasn't really worked for the Buck defense?
You know, good coaches adjust. And I'm not saying Todd Bowles is a bad guy. I think Todd Bowles is one of these guys. We gave Lovey hell about this. My scheme. He was talking about that Friday with Bain. The way I'm going to scheme at Bain's, just do a Wade Phillips and adjust to what the talent you have.
Steve, isn't he here for one reason? Put the quarterback on his ass?
Look, Ira, if you take one of the most, arguably the most powerful, nasty, lower body explosive guy in the draft, and you start, you know, having him covering running backs and
in the flat,
and you know, next thing you know, he's chasing tight ends and he's dropping into zone. It's going to be a bad look if you're not successful. Period.
Cam Jordan, you know, we all don't like him, but he may be an ass, but he's not stupid.
Well, he's had a stellar career.
He's fun. I like Cam Newton. He's fun.
Cam Jordan.
You are about.
Oh, I thought you said Cam Newton.
Cam Jordan.
Cam Jordan.
I was like, what's Lee got against Cam
Newton? No, I don't have nothing against Cam Newton. outside of his stupid hats. But Cam Jordan, what Steve is saying, that's an absolute pet peeve to him. And he's talked about it at length, how that really screws up with a defensive end's head when you start telling, you got to drop back, you got to cover, you got to
do. Didn't they do it with Julius Peppers a little bit? The Panthers? Didn't they do it with Julius Peppers a little bit?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible to succeed, but.
He was 6'6". That helps.
Wasn't he All-American basketball
player,
too?
He was a Hall of Fame freak show.
Yeah.
You can't compare.
I think he had 11 interceptions.
You can't compare anybody. 11?
You know, Cam Jordan said that screws up a guy's head, and it hasn't worked here. And I just think
right
now.
Fair points, Lee. Fair points.
Again, I'm not anti-Bain.
You're saying make it simple for Bain. Make it simple.
Mold a defense around your guy's talents.
That's supposed to be what good coaches do.
Thank you. Shula used to do that.
We're going
to
find out.
Still, about Bain, I think right now, he's a player without a position in this defense. And I'm wondering, he seems more like an inside player than an outside linebacker. That's just me saying that. I don't see anything about him that he can play outside. Not saying he can't, but I don't see any evidence that he can. And that's what I'm basing on. I'm based on evidence. Now, from what I've seen of the guy, what could he do? Play outside linebacker or play inside? To me, inside. And I'm not saying full-time, but he seems to have – you were talking about his power. Well, that's what guys use – Via always talks about his power, and coaches talk about his power. He seems like more of an inside guy than an outside linebacker. And I'm not saying that's where Bowles will play him, but that's just my observation.
You know, Steve, while Lee was putting that out there very succinctly, I was thinking, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, don't the Bucs have enough bodies up front that maybe you could go to a four-man front as your base defense?
That would be nice.
Why can't you do that?
Well,
why can't you do that?
I don't think Todd wants to do it.
Can't see Invea inside.
Look, on third down.
Bain on the edge.
On third down. You got four guys across the front. Bain's going to be on the edge. And I think I disagree a little bit with Lee because he's got the bend. You see the highlights. He's ripping under guys.
By the way,
he's so flexible.
As a defensive end, yes.
No, rushing off the edge.
About outside linebacker with all these other stupid responsibilities. Aside from
sure, well, but Bowles would have to change his defense.
Which I don't expect.
By the way, Lee, Bain's not a bad run defender either. He's not bad.
He's a beast, man. He's a beast. I saw those playoff games. Here's one for you. Here's a good story. And I can't remember the guy who said it, but I remember the podcast, and it would take me 5 or 6 hours to find it. But one of the guys at The Athletic went up to a fullback in Indiana. I don't know what his name is. But he was explaining the story right after the national championship. Right after. You know, they're on the field, confetti's flying down, everything. So he walks up to this fullback at Indiana. 2 minutes before, you became national champions. The ultimate Cinderella story in sports outside of the hockey team in 1980. You think this guy's jumping up and down, screaming, we're number one, we're champions, we did what no one expected to do, blah, blah. What's the first thing out of his mouth? Reuben Bain is a beast. The first thing out of his mouth when he won the freaking national championship, Reuben Bain is a beast. To me, that's the ultimate respect. You just won a national championship. Your first reaction is Reuben Bain is a beast.
Yeah, I think the story might have gotten twisted up, whoever told it at The Athletic. Jacob Hester, SiriusXM NFL Radio, he covered the game for Sirius, was on the field. He asked that question of the center for the Indiana Hoosiers.
Victorious Indiana.
Who was drafted, of course. You know, that was the response. Just won the national title. Reuben Bain's an animal. So that's who
I think that's very telling.
That is the ultimate
that's
respect.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Steve,
All right, Sage, look, we're getting out of here. But the Panthers, I want to hear what you think. They go offensive tackle first round. They don't go get a Sadiq. They don't go get a massive weapon.
They don't get a wide receiver.
They don't look to replace the running back that they lost. They're going to hope that Hubbard can come back and somehow Travis Etienne and his 20 carries is going to be a superstar from last year. Round two, Lee Hunter, defensive tackle. We talked about the receiver they got in round three. They go outside cornerback in round four and get a backup center with starter potential in round five. Your thoughts on the Panthers?
They still don't have an offense that scares anybody.
Like, nope.
They don't have an offense that scares anybody.
What about the Tet offensive?
They got he's very good.
Yeah.
He's very good. But you can stop one guy. Unless you're the Bucks. Unless you're the Bucks.
And
Young's a work in progress.
Yeah, still is, yeah.
Brett still is. You know, I'm not going to knock him for fortifying the offensive line, but they need more weapons. They need more. They could have taken Sadiq. They could have taken Sadiq.
I thought they were.
And they didn't.
Saints go receiver, Jordan Tyson, number 8 overall. And then defensive tackle, Christian Miller out of Georgia. They go back to Georgia, Oscar Delp, tight end, a lot of people liked, with the 3rd pick. And they go get a guard and another receiver in round 4. So they really jacked up the offense.
I think the Saints might be good in a couple of years. I like the quarterback, Lee.
Do you?
I like the guy. I like him.
They got a good nucleus, I think.
I think he's a tough kid, and I think his teammates love him in New Orleans. I think the fans love him. Look, they're old in some spots, and, of course, they're still looking to replace the corner that drove Mike Evans crazy.
Oh, Lattimore, they're still trying to replace him?
Well, they're trying to replace him. I think in 2 years the Saints are going to be the Bucks' main competition.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I think so.
Well, they're still in like $100 million in salary cap dead money hell, so you know it's going to be very hard for them to have a strong season, but I thought they made some nice moves. Lastly, the Falcons, Ira, no first-round pick because the Rams stole it from them. They go cornerback in the 2nd round, receiver in the 3rd round that we mentioned, and 4th round they grab Kendall Daniels, linebacker. Your thoughts there? They didn't really improve too much.
I can't be concerned with the Falcons till they straighten themselves out under center. I don't know what they're doing over there. I'm not a Penix guy, Lee.
They got two lefties at quarterback.
To me, they're spinning their wheels. It's a 7-8 win team. Again, Robinson's great. It's fantastic. No question about it. I love Drake London. You know, I think he's the second coming of Mike Evans.
Wow.
I think he's that good. He's a guy who could get 1,000.
I
think he could get 1,000 yards for the next 7 years. And I'm not saying he's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying that. But he's their version of Mike Evans. Let's put it like that.
Poor man's version.
You don't have a quarterback, Lee. You said it many times.
You
can't
nothing.
Compete.
No.
You can't compete. There was one more thing I wanted to say.
And, I got one thing. But
go ahead, Lee.
All right, Ira. If you ever have any doubt that Reuben Bain may not have been the guy, or he may not be the guy, or you have any doubts whatsoever about Reuben Bain, rest easy at night. Because none other than the notorious Nevin Shapiro gave the draft pick his blessing.
Now you got to tell me who he is, Lee.
You know
who
Nevin Shapiro is?
I know Shapiro's deli in Indianapolis.
Well, he ran
an influencer?
Yeah, he was, very much so. He ran a Ponzi scheme down in South Florida.
Oh.
He went to Miami, and with this Ponzi scheme, he bankrolled all those monster Hurricanes teams of the 90s and early 2000s, you know, the Ed Reeds and the Sean Taylors. He bankrolled all those guys. He would take them out on yachts out in Biscayne Bay, and he'd rent the women for them, and he'd take care of the problems that would inevitably happen thereafter. You know, a couple days later, they find, I'll take care of that. He did all that off his Ponzi scheme. Feds bust him. He did time for racketeering, for money laundering, for something else. And he's out of Biden sprung him, and he's back in South Florida. He's got this really good podcast.
He was pardoned, Ira.
Yeah, he's
endorsing the Buck draft. Really?
Absolutely. Joe Bucks fan had the video this morning. And there's another video of him talking about how Miami's moving to Tampa.
I didn't know who he was. Anything better to do than look at the draft over there.
You know who he was.
So, Sage, you know, I know you don't like when I do this, and this is not going to stop, but it's in my craw, as Lee would say.
All right.
Bottom line, the 49ers maneuver, they trade down out of the first round. They get the first pick of round two, and they draft a big receiver, Stribling, out of Ole Miss. Your thoughts there?
Well, I know that your first reaction is, look out, Mike Evans, you're not there for long, which he's not. I'll say this, I take no pleasure in saying this, Lee. John Lynch isn't having such a great 3 or 4 years in the draft. He's not.
No, he's not.
Now, they won 12 games. Steve, that's how good a coach this guy is. And they got talent, and they kind of lucked into Purdy, and they got McCaffrey, you know, and they got Fred Warner, but, you know, and Trent Williams. But I don't know.
Ancient Trent Williams.
Some of the Niner draft
Fred
picks.
Fred Warner coming off a major injury. McCaffrey hurt every
They don't know
year.
What to do with Ayuk, Steve. They don't know what to do with him. He's not going to be on the roster when the season starts.
No, they don't know what they
do. They don't know what to do with him.
It's messy over
he's
there.
He's a head case, you know. I don't like the trajectory of the 49ers. I don't like it. McCaffrey's got a lot of tread on him, Steve.
Yes.
He can't keep doing this
for 5 years. He gets hurt every other year. He's hurt. All right, and I had to ask. Because you know, all eyes on Mike Evans. We're rooting for him to have a great year in the 49ers.
You said you weren't, and I am.
I hope he has a nice year.
Oh, okay,
not a legendary year, but a nice year, and I hope they win 3 games.
When are we gonna have the Bucs schedule, Stevie?
May 13th, it looks like
early May. Did they come out with a day?
They did not come out with a day, but Front Office Sports did the math on it. The NFL likes to drip, drip, drip right before the full schedule comes out. Well, right. Early part of the second week of May, they have the upfronts. The networks have the upfronts, and that's where Goodell likes to show up and drip, drip, drip. And that's like anywhere from the 9th to the 12th is the upfronts. And
you know,
so they're looking at the 13th.
Steve, a year ago at this time, you were saying we were kicking this around about the 25 schedule, and you said, hey, Ari, what's a great week one matchup for the Bucks? And I said the Falcons in Atlanta. Let's do it right now. Show them who's boss after they swept. You know, they
yeah,
got
and
swept.
They did, and they did. Yeah,
and they did. This year, Lee, I think it might be the Panthers. Smack them around and show Canales that you ain't winning this division again. I'm looking for let Carolina come to town and get drubbed. Let them get drubbed.
All right. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. The Sage will now put his feet up, and we'll be back later in the week.